Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB digital radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and BloombergRadio.com.
But let's get back to discussing the meat of this energy crisis. Soaring bills we're all expecting this winter when the price cap jumps in October. We've heard about the Labour Party's solution for that, which is extending the windfall tax on oil and gas companies to allow for the cap to be frozen. Of course, there is a broader focus here too about how the UK supplies itself with power into the future. And we're joined now by Tom Greatrex, who's CEO of the UK's Nuclear Industry Association. He's also a former Labour MP and Shadow Energy Minister. Tom, thank you very much for being with us on Bloomberg Radio. Nuclear power accounts for around 15% of the UK's current energy mix. How fast could that be ramped up to take a greater part in supplies in the future?
Good morning. Well, to get to a position where you have 20 to 25% of the power coming from nuclear, which is what the government's energy security strategy envisages, will take, or will start to ramp that up, will be over about a period of 10 years. So this isn't going to be the answer to the immediate crisis, but it is the answer if you want to avoid having the situation we're having now, again in the future, where an over-reliance on fossil fuels and the volatility that comes from that puts not just the prices in significantly difficult position, but also our energy security and the way in which we're able to ensure we have supplies of energy that homes and businesses and public services all need.
What sort of investment is needed to ramp up nuclear in the UK?
Well, we've got a number of sites. We've got a number of potential technologies to be able to be built, but what they all need, because nuclear power stations are capital intensive, you need almost all of the money associated with nuclear power stations in the construction part of the operation. Then they operate for probably 70, 80 years with a very low and predictable running cost. So it's billions of pounds of investment, but it's investment in critical infrastructure, which will last a very, very long time. And the fact that we have our current fleet that you referred to before, almost all of that is closing down in the next few years because it's come to the end of its life. Means we're going to be in a position where we're going to be more energy insecure than we currently are even today.
Does that upfront investment need to come from public money?
Well, not necessarily. There are different ways of doing it. The government has, with cross-party support, put in place in legislation that's something called a regulated asset-based model for nuclear, the same model that's used for other infrastructure in other areas, which will help to reduce the cost of capital. There's a significant amount of interest in the investment community in nuclear power and using that model in a way that wasn't the case under the previous model. I suspect there will probably be some public investment in those projects, but that's probably right because that makes the cost to consumers lower. And it is, of course, critical infrastructure that we need to avoid being in the situation we're currently in the future.
You mentioned that a lot of these plants are coming towards the end of their lives, the existing power plants in the UK that are nuclear. Hinkley B, of course, just closed. Two more scheduled to close in 2024. Do their lifetimes need to be extended further to stop the squeeze in the short term on supplies?
Well, these are power stations that have pretty much come to the end of their generating life. They've all had lifetime extensions. They've all gone for a lot longer than they're originally envisaged. So it may be possible to be able to get a little bit more out of them, but you're not going to have, as you've seen in other places, in other parts of the world, be able to sort of have 20 or 30 year lifetime extensions. So what we need to do to ensure we have that supply in the future is to get on and start the process of building, replacing that fleet and doing more than that fleet in terms of gigawatt capacity to be able to make sure we've got that proportion of 20, 25% that we've been talking about.
What does the nuclear industry need to do to improve its image in terms of getting these plants on stream? We know, for example, we've had the many issues at the French reactors recently due to heating river temperatures and supply issues there. We've also had extremely long delays in bringing new plants on stream. Flamanville in northern France is 10 years behind schedule in building. Is there any way to make the nuclear industry more attractive for that long-term investment?
Well, investors that are looking at nuclear now can see three fundamentals. Firstly, is that you're providing secure and reliable and stable power, which is the backbone of any economy, and that is attractive. Secondly, they're long-lasting infrastructure assets. that therefore bring with them long-term investor value. The third thing is that, as with other energy sources, the first ones you build take longer. The more you do it, if you have a program, as France did a generation ago, then you're able to do that efficiently and effectively, and you have the supply chain established. You're able to do more and do more effectively, rather than doing what we've done historically in this country, and we did in the early 90s. We build one and then stop, and then magically expect that the industry is going to be automatically there when there's a change of decision making 20 or 30 years later. That's the root of this. You know, we've got tremendous skills and capacity and capability in the UK nuclear industry, but it hasn't been focused on building new power stations until starting with Hinkley. And we've got to be able to build more than one and keep building them. And that comes from having certainty and clarity about what it is we're trying to do. And that's the thing that politicians are trying to grapple with at the moment. Probably too late. They should have made a lot of these decisions about 10 years ago, but we are where we are. We need to get on with it and do it properly now.
Where can those new plants be built? There are lots of communities who don't want a nuclear power station near them.
There's lots of communities that do want a nuclear power station near them. Communities where there have been previous nuclear power stations, you will find communities are very supportive because, firstly, they understand the realities of being part of a nuclear community, and as opposed to some of the things which are said by people who oppose it that aren't necessarily true. Secondly, because of the economic impact that they currently have. We have a lot of nuclear licensed sites in the UK that are suitable for large or SMR reactors. There are also a number of other industrial sites that have had previous or different types of power generation, coal-fired or gas-fired power stations, which could potentially be suitable. So there's not a shortage of sites, and there isn't a shortage of communities that would welcome that investment and welcome nuclear power stations in them. They're not going to be in, you know, every town or every location, but there are locations that are suitable and where they'll be welcomed.
I mentioned that you're a former shadow energy minister. I'm wondering what your view is on Keir Starmer's plans to extend windfall tax, freeze the price cap. Are your members worried that a windfall tax could hit them?
Well, it depends. You know, a windfall tax that is applied to where there have been significant unanticipated profits made is quite different to a blunt windfall tax on electricity generation, for example. And so it's about the detail of that. I mean, electricity generation, so nuclear power, for example, that's been currently part of is the cheapest electricity there currently is on the system at the moment, because that's coming from assets that are coming towards the end of their lives and so are paid for. So it's by far the cheapest electricity of all of it that's currently on the grid. And without it, the electricity price would be even higher. If there aren't any excess profits being made in that area, I think there's a difference between that and where you've got fossil fuel profits that have significantly increased because of the price issues that have happened in the fossil fuel market. So it's about the detail about how that's applied. But, you know, I don't envy any current politician in trying to do what they're trying to do at the moment to find ways of addressing what we all know is going to be a very difficult winter, both in terms of cost of energy, but probably in the availability of energy. And that's going to have significant impacts, I think, on society as a whole.
Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB digital radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and Bloomberg Radio.